So what's good, everyone? Welcome back. Once again, we're back for the F1 podcast. This is the TTF1, as we are now going to call it, the Talking Twats F1 podcast. I'll be bringing it to you today. My name is Richie. We've got Big Matt in the house. We've got Noah. How are we doing, fellas?
We are doing good because it's Monday. It's the day after the race. We're feeling refreshed. If we recorded this yesterday, I would have been like a zombie getting up early for the Australian Grand Prix. It's never fun, but all good now, ready to discuss the hot topics. Noah, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm excited again. I'm back. I missed it last week. No, 2 weeks ago, actually. What was it?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks ago, I wasn't there, so I'm excited to be back. And hopefully we can have a really interesting and lovely day.
So first things first, great to have you back in the booth once again. Of course, I am the diehard Mercedes. We've got the diehard Red fan, as you can see. And he's very happy, of course, isn't he, Matt? And we've got the Red Bull fan of Noah representing Max Verstappen, the reigning, defending champion, the Flying Dutchman. And F1, we're back in Australia. Matt, how long has it been since we was in Australia? What was it, 2019? Or am I getting that wrong?
Yeah, 2019, been 3 years since we were last in Australia, but it was good to be back, wasn't it? And I think it was a record crowd in attendance as well. They've definitely missed Formula One, and it's good to be back at a slightly changed circuit as well.
Yeah, they've had a lot of time to modify the circuit. A lot of money's been pumped into it as well, but it's great for the fans just to have the venue back once again. The Australians love their motorsport. We see that from the V8 supercars, etc. And just to have it back there, once again, after being cruelly robbed, being there on the Friday, ready to for the gates to open, get in. I, as an F1 fan who's been to the circuit, there's no the anticipation of getting to the circuit. You can see the tarmac, and then that was robbed of them. So yeah, great to be back in Melbourne itself. So let's kick us off, Matt. What were you going to talk about first today?
First of all, let's straight up discuss. We've already mentioned it slightly. That new track layout. Big money pumped into it, as you say. How do we think it was? Do we think it was a success? Of course, you've got several corners which have been opened up, made a bit wider. Several corners modified, changed. We've sort of cut out one of the chicanes. Originally, we had 4 DRS zones, which was a little bit excessive. We ended up only having 3 due to safety concerns. I'm not sure whether it was safety or whether they changed their mind, but how do you think it was in terms of racing? Do we think it was an improvement or not?
Well, we've seen a great move from Checo Perez against Lewis, the third DRS straight initially. The only problem is, again, they changed it and I think it was positive, but the corners from the track itself make it quite dangerous. For example, the move from Perez against Lewis before the chicane, it's a really fast chicane. You can go side by side, but we don't like to do it. He went for it, but at the end, it didn't change much because the driver still, you don't want to crash. You want to be safe, and they added more straight lines. But at the end, it was quite the same, in my opinion. Although we had an extra DRS zone, but it didn't change a lot.
And Matt, what was your take on it? You liked this track, didn't you? Or prior, anyway.
Yeah, I on the Formula One games at least. I quite like Australia, and I was a little bit annoyed when they said they were going to change it. So I was like, no, I'm good here. I like this track. I think there were positives we can take from it. I think there was definitely an improvement from where it was before. Because before, Crofty was doing the stats with me. He was saying, like, I think it was 2017, they had 2 on-track overtakes all race, which is insane. And there was definitely an improvement from that. You've got to balance up how much of the improvement is also the new cars, because we've already seen that they are helping the racing massively. Yeah, I think the improvements helped, but we don't. Everyone ended up in a DRS train and everybody ended up caught up behind Lance Stroll, who was in an Aston Martin, which is arguably the worst car. Lance Stroll is arguably one of the worst drivers on the grid. on very old hard tires, when there's a queue of cars getting stuck behind him, the racing situation's probably not the best, in my opinion.
Yeah, quite hard to gauge the differences in the track layout because, of course, we've got a whole new formula here. The cars behave very differently, and it's a very much a point and squirt kind of circuit that we have at Melbourne. And you do have to ride them curbs and throw caution to the wind. The track surface, that definitely played its part this weekend as well. The new asphalt going down, didn't have time to bed in. Over the years, it will give some more grip. But we saw teams really struggling this weekend to get the tyres turned on. The softs wouldn't last at all. I don't think we saw anyone run that in the race. We just had the, what was it we had there in this weekend? Was it the C1, C2, C3 compound? I'm not quite sure.
I think it was C4.
Yeah, I think it was the higher compound, yeah.
I think we had the
softest.
Softest, not the hardest. Okay, so I got that one wrong. But we saw massive graining as well, which is a huge cause for concern, even on the hard compound of tyres, especially on the Red Bull. And Ferrari seemed quite kind on its tyres. But again, we're seeing drivers having to manage the car and not push. We saw a few drivers, or I heard a few myself anyway, saying, you know, at the final corner, they couldn't really push the envelope because they were worried about their front left tyre. But yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of the changes. I would have liked that fourth detection and deployment zone. And apparently it was one team that protested it and got it changed. I don't know who, don't know why, don't know how, but they got it changed. And I doubt it was Red Bull. Red Bull are quick in a straight line, so they probably would have wanted it. Maybe it was the Ferrari pulling out that that special vote map.
Maybe it was. We do have a nice influence on things. I think Alpine really wanted it because of the porpoising. Their car's like so settled compared to everybody else. And obviously when you've got the DRS open, you lose the load pushing down on the rear tires, which is what causes the porpoising. And that sort of keeps a car like a Mercedes, which is very up and down, more stable. You get rid of the DRS and that causes a lot of issues down that straight. And we saw down that straight, Ferrari and Mercedes both porpoising crazily. Ferrari especially this weekend. That was slightly concerning. I haven't seen us bouncing that bad, but I worked out all right. We still won the race, didn't we? Let's go.
Okay, so spoiler alert, this to Ferrari, by the way. But the fact that Ferrari can get away with that level of porpoising, Noah, Mercedes somewhat are trying to use that as an excuse. Is it all down to porpoising, Mercedes' poor performance, do you reckon? Or is it a case of there's more underlying issues in that car?
Well, I think it's a bit more complicated because, yeah, as you said, we've seen multiple cars really porpoising quite hard. We saw Sainz doing it this race. I think Sainz was a bit worse than Leclerc. Leclerc also was purposing quite a lot, but Sainz was heavier, especially in free practice 2 it was, or 3, I can't remember. He was also complaining about it, but we can still see like the straight line speed from that Ferrari is just it's really good, as well with the purposing problem. So I think the lack of speed on a Mercedes is a bit more complicated. It might be more drag or just maybe a design fault, I don't know. But yeah, it's quite, how do you say? It's quite funny to see, actually, because Ferrari wasn't that bad in terms of porpoising at the start of the season. And now they changed a bit of stuff on the car. Now it's really heavy. So, we haven't seen that porpoising effect on the Red Bull yet. So, we don't know, like, we still can't make a decision on what's like making a problem. So we know Ferrari came with a new setup and a new package, but yeah, I don't know what's the problem still. Like the side pod isn't a thing because Mercedes is running the really small side pod. Ferrari has a huge side pod, and they're both experiencing that porpoising effect. So yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah, it'll be something that rattles on throughout the season. But the race, did it deliver, Matt? How would you rate the race as a whole out of 10 if I were to put you on the spot? And was it a classic?
It most certainly was not a classic. It was very mid, a solid 5, maybe 4 for me. It didn't deliver. Was it worth getting up at 6 a.m. for?
Yes.
Yeah. If you're a diehard F1 fan like we are, it's yes. But yes. If not, probably not. There wasn't a lot of overtaking. There wasn't really that fight for the win like we've seen in the last couple of races. It was really Leclerc and Ferrari sort of just did their thing. I was a little bit more hopeful for the Fernando Alonso, Carlos Sainz comeback from 9th and 10th on the grid, but we didn't get to see that, unfortunately. So, yeah, not a solid race for me. Not good.
Yeah, so spoiler alert, let's get into the start of the race. Let's talk about the opening sequences there. Of course, Charles Leclerc with an impressive pole position there, putting the car on the front row. Once again, the Ferrari showing it's got the one lap and the race pace to match it as well. Pulled it out the bag. He said he felt good. He said the lap felt great. And contrasting opinions, Noah, from the Red Bull garage, Max saying he was really struggling throughout the weekend. What was the kind of feedback he was talking about, and what struggles for Red Bull at the minute?
Well, for what I know, it's mostly a tire issue. Like, we've seen him struggle the entire weekend in terms of temperature, degradation and stuff. And I saw the sector times, and Leclerc gained, like, what was it? Nearly 2 temps in the last sector. So that shows that Ferrari is really, really good at the low speed turn corners. So, yeah, I think for us now, Red Bull really needs to find a trick to get these tires alive for a longer period, because if it stays like this, Ferrari can just go to a harder tire, get that pace, get into that rhythm and just finish. And Red Bull is still finding, their limit towards like what they can do, because the tires are just dying way, way too soon and the temperatures are way too high. So yeah, Max said it to us as well in the interview, like he had to slow down to save the tires. The temperatures went too high, no grip, a lot of understeer. Yeah, and that's not what you want in the Formula One car. So Red Bull needs to find something to help it, because otherwise Ferrari will get an easy season this year.
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it? Because we came in, coming into the race after qualifying, thinking, all right, Leclerc's taken pole by 3 tenths, or was it? That's a pretty dominant margin. But we were all sort of expecting Red Bull will have a better race car. Yeah. And so we're expecting this big fight between Leclerc and Verstappen. And in the end, particularly in the opening stage on the medium tyre, Red Bull was just nowhere. Max could not stay close to Leclerc because his tyres were graining. I think he was whinging about it's not happy. Nope. And they were falling back into the clutches of Mercedes and McLaren in that first stint, which was really surprising. And then they seemed a lot better on the hard tire, still not with Ferrari, but they were able to keep at least Mercedes and McLaren back. But yeah, really concerning for Red Bull to see them struggling so much on the tires.
Yeah, we've seen Max complaining about just the balance, so inconsistent. Sometimes he's lacking the front, then the rear, a really weak car. And I think that is just transmitting into the tyres as well. They're really ragging the car, really sliding it through the corners, corner exit in the entry as well. And it's a big contrast to what we've seen in the opening 2 rounds as well. The Red Bull looked strong, it looked consistent, it looked good under braking, and it looked like a real good race car. So this is a sign of things to come in some of the hotter destinations, in some of the day races as well. Red Bull have definitely got some things to cause for concern, and more things that we'll talk about a bit later. But back to qualifying, guys. Back to qualifying. Purple sector, Fernando Alonso. The tingles were coming. The hairs were standing up on our neck. But what happened next?
Some dodgy reliability happened next. It was a commentator's curse is what happened. Noah, I don't know if you probably had Dutch commentary, so you wouldn't have gotten this, but flipping Martin Brundle's praising Fernando Alonso. He's like, oh, he's done a good sector one. He's purple sector two. He's flying. He's giving it everything. And then literally, as he's finishing his sentence, we cut to Fernando Alonso in the barriers. It was honestly the most upsetting thing of my morning. Oh, dear, oh dear. It was a hydraulic issue he was in the end, wasn't it? He was, as he came into the corner, he missed, couldn't get one of his downshifts. And of course, that costs you a lot of engine braking, which the cars do quite heavily rely on, especially now with the hybrid systems, I think. So he just sort of slid off the track. It wasn't a big crash, but once he got into the gravel, there was no recovering it. Where was he going to be? I think there was potential, absolute minimum, top four. I'm feeling there was a top three in that car.
Yeah, I would have said the front row. What would you think of it?
Well, yeah. Honestly, I saw the sector times on Instagram. Second sector, nearly 2 tenths quicker compared to, what was it, Max, and a tenth quicker than Charles. That's quite a lot. So I think he could have been P2, honestly, because Max's third sector was absolutely nowhere. So if it's up to me, I think it would have been a top two, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We will never know. That's the most upsetting thing of the whole weekend.
But qualifier was a bit of a shambles, isn't it? Some of these drivers are looking like absolute rookies with this new formula. And do you know what? I'm absolutely loving it because it's really throwing like just so many curveballs. And we're seeing him just slide off the corner, just so helplessly understeering off into the gravel. And this old school track, these tracks bite, you know, because there's no forgiveness. I mean, we had the Latifi incident with Stroll, which they are both a bunch of clowns. Canadians just getting it wrong and miscommunication and a very expensive one. The cost cap environment. It was a terrible weekend. Let's just get into it. It's a terrible weekend for the Aston Martin team. It's been a terrible start to the season. And Daddy Stroll must be remortgaging the team at this rate.
I agree. Terrible start for Aston Martin. Lance Stroll, not really sure what he was doing with the Latifi crash. The mechanics had literally just finished fixing his car from his FP3 crash, got him out on track, and was it on his outlap, like in the first sector? Just Latifi lets him go, and I understand that. All right, Stroll's probably not expecting Latifi to then floor it and want to immediately come back past. However, if you're going to swerve across the track like he did, maybe just check in your mirrors that there isn't someone on your right before you do it. Like, they've all got driving licenses because you have to have one to get a super license. Rule number one, check your mirrors.
Yeah, mirror signal maneuver. But what else happened in qualifying? Do we have another crash or something? We had two red flag incidents, didn't we? Was it Alonso?
You had Alonso was the other one, and Albon he caused a delay on his in-lap after Q1. Something broke.
Lack of fuel.
There you go. Oh, yeah, because he got disqualified, didn't he?
Yeah, he got disqualified at the end because he ran out of fuel.
Can't be doing that.
Sebastian Vettel earlier in free practice as well. Had a little trip into the gravel, and then he also got told off, didn't he, for taking to the scooter and finishing completing his lap on the moped, which you'd just love to see that. But let's get into the race. How do we do it? Should we do a race rundown in terms of drivers? Let's go front to back. Matt, have you got the classification? I hope you have, because I haven't.
Bring it up. We will quickly go through everyone. Would you want to do it from first to last or last to first?
Last to first. Let's save the best till last, shall we, Matt?
Last to first. We will go through and rate everybody's performances. Last of all, first DNF of the afternoon, Carlos Sainz. What could have been? What could have been with Ferrari so strong if he'd just gotten the lap in qualifying? Missed opportunity. And if you're in a title fight, can't be missing big opportunities for big points like that. It's a 4 out of 10 for me.
Noah?
He went for it. His tires were absolutely nowhere. We saw that oversteer everywhere on the hard tires. Pushed too hard. Yeah, all around weekend quite bad. So, 4 out of 10 as well for Sainz.
poor weekend. All started off in qualifying. He was 1 second away from that red flag of getting his banker lap time in, which really cost him. He then went out. Well, he got delayed going out by about 3 minutes. He had to change the steering wheel. I think in qualifying, he had some issues on the car, which delayed him going out. Also, before the race start as well, on the formation lap, they had to change the steering wheel again, which meant they had all the settings in the wrong configuration. So he had anti-stall off the line for the formation lap as well as the start as well, which lost him time as well as being on the hard compound tyre. Now, I don't understand why Ferrari had to had to risk it. Just put him on a racy tyre. He's going to be quick off the start. He's got a good package. And we know, we're all like sim racers here, yeah? We know the alternate strat is very risky around Melbourne because the chances of an early safety car are extremely high. And we saw that today, like, he caused it, of course, but it was too risky. That hard tire takes way too long to fire up. He was going back positions. He raced too hard. I feel it was very harsh from him this weekend. I think the team got the strategy wrong. I would give him a 6 out of 10, personally.
Yeah, I think that with hindsight, the hard tire was clearly not the right choice of start tire. Didn't work out for him at all. Couldn't get the temperature. Got a bad start, tried to put a move on one of the Hasses, fell further backwards, tried to put a move on somebody else, spun off and crashed, got himself beached, game over. Sainz, Muppet, what are you doing, son? Moving on to someone else who made themselves look like a bit of a Muppet this weekend, Sebastian Vettel. Not a good weekend for him. We'll give him a little bit of slack because hasn't driven the car since testing. Did have some reliability in FP1, which meant he couldn't get out in FP2 either. Then did crash it in FP3, trying to get as much running as he can. So he came into the race with probably, I'd say, 20 laps or so of running for the weekend. And then the race was a bit of a shit show for him, really, as you'd kind of expect. But he slid off into the gravel once and then he crashed. So not good. It's another 4 out of 10, 3 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Yeah, I agree with that. I'll give him a 3 out of 10 purely because he tried to do something. I mean, the team is absolutely nowhere. The car is not where it wants to be. He tried, did a few laps, and he went for it. Didn't go well. So a 3 out of 10 for Sub.
I'd agree with it. Of course, he's had a lack of running. This is his first race of the season. He had limited practice as well. It's very harsh. The pressure's coming down on him. The multiple world champion, four-time champion. It's not looking good, is it, Matt? I could see him sailing off into the sunset very, very soon. Poor weekend.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Our third and final non-finisher of the race then, Max Verstappen. I don't think he did anything wrong through the weekend. He was got what he could out of that Red Bull, was running comfortably second before it gave up on him. I'll give him a 6 because it was nothing special for Verstappen. He had one opportunity, I think, to get Leclerc, and that was on that safety car restart. I think Leclerc got off quite lightly there. I think in other races we would have seen Max punish that mistake from him. But yeah, 6 out of 10. Sucks to suck. Finish the race next time.
I'll give him a 6 out of 10 as well. He knew P2 was the maximum here. Leclerc was just too quick. He was doing it fine. Again, car gave up on him. Reliability issues at Red Bull. He did nothing wrong. He tried. Car was just not good enough. So 6 out of 10.
Yeah, unacceptable is the words that he said after the race there from another DNF after another strong race, strong position. He's done nothing wrong himself. And you'd say maybe a 6 out of 10. He's really struggled with the car. Going into qualifying, I thought Perez might actually pip him once again in terms of qualifying pace. He looked a lot more comfortable within the car, but no fault for his own. Pushed the car maybe a bit too hard in the first stint as well. Really struggled with the graining on the tyre and just trying to keep up with the Ferraris. I mean, that's not his own fault, but another tough day at the office and the gap widens.
Yeah, that's the key thing, isn't it? He's a long way off the championship lead after only three races. Big work for him to do now for the rest of this season. Our first classified finisher of the race, and one that perhaps had a big weekend in him and ended up with just a rather big finishing position, P17, Fernando Alonso. What could have been had he not had that failure in qualifying, had he started up there at the front of the grid? In the end, fell victim, I think, to a bad strategy. Yep. Starting on the hards would have been fine if the safety cars were timed a bit better. Unfortunately, the safety car timing just helped those who started on the mediums way more, much like we saw in Saudi. It didn't benefit him. And then once he put the mediums on, couldn't progress because the mediums were not a very good race tyre in the end. Ended up pitting for fastest lap, which he didn't get either because Leclerc had the fastest lap and then decided he wanted the fastest lap again. Fernando Alonso, 5 out of 10, because what could have been good effort.
Yeah, he tried. He tried. Was looking promising. Qualifying, car gave up on him. Race went wrong. Well, to finish first, you have to finish. he finished. But P17 for the Alpine, not acceptable. I give Alonso a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll go with a 6 as well. Ultra aggressive. It looked like the old Fernando this weekend, really grabbing, you know, the bull by the horns and thrashing it around the circuit like a man. It could have been a podium, like he said in the interviews. He ended up with a two-stop race at the end, had to pit close. He had the pace of the car, and like Matt said, if he just, you know, banged in the qualifying, ifs, buts, maybes, it didn't happen. Alpine let him down this weekend. And yeah, but good package in the Alpine as well. So room for improvement.
Yeah, for sure. P16, kind of forgot this guy was even in the race. Nicholas Latifi, he was there, I guess. Didn't see him, didn't do anything special. Would have been dead last if Alonso didn't want the fastest stack. 3 or 4 out of 10 again. Not great.
I'll give Nicholas a 2 out of 10. Honestly, he should have been P17, in my opinion, behind Alonso. Doesn't deserve to be P16. driving like an idiot, in my opinion. But, 2 out of 10. Yeah.
Yeah, after a fairly decent start to life in F1, it's really tailing off at the minute. And there wasn't a race to ruin today, so he didn't crash. If you need a race ruined, Latifi's your man. 1-800 free phone number. He'll be there for you. But Latifi, poor. And I started to question his spot on the grid. I'll go with a 2 as well.
Understandable. P15, Yuki Tsunoda. Don't know how he ended up there. Because again, I don't really remember much of his race. Kind of forgot he was in it. It's a bit hard to rate him because, again, I got no idea where he was. Nothing remarkable. 4 out of 10, Yuki Tsunoda. Do something special next time.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. 4 out of 10. Didn't see anything from him as well. Driving an AlphaTauri, you expect him to be at least top 11, top 10. So, 4 out of 10.
I mean, the AlphaTauri does look like the most pleasant car to drive this season. It does look a bit of a handful. Pierre Gasly putting him to shame once again. But the fact he didn't crash the car, that's why my score is a bit higher. I'll go with a 4.
Yeah, fair enough. Moving on, P14, the first of our two Haas drivers, Kevin Magnussen. Again, starting on the hard tyre. Evidently, not the strategy to be on. Ended up P14 behind his teammate. I thought he was ahead of his teammate. Maybe, I don't know what happened there. Maybe he made a mistake or something. Not a fabulous weekend for Haas after their storming start to the season. Would like to hopefully see them back on form in a couple of weeks' time in Imola. I will throw out there a 5 out of 10 for him because I saw him on TV a couple of times. So he's already better than Tsunoda for that.
Good reasons. The Haas wasn't that great this weekend. Well, at least not like the first two races. Yeah, P14 behind his teammate. Mick picking up the pace, in all honesty. So, K-Mac, 5 out of 10.
Yeah, poor weekend for K-Mac. Got out-qualified and out-raced by Mick Schumacher. I mean, was that a poor K-Mac? I mean, the Haas didn't look half as great as it's been in the opening rounds. And is it other people turning it on? Is it them not turning it on? Hard to say, but they've faded very quickly since the opening success. Hopefully it's just a blip in the road for them. But yeah, poor weekend. I'll give him a 4. I think they could have done a lot more. The fact that Mick outperformed him, yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, and then P13, Mick Schumacher in the other Haas. 5 out of 10 from me. Made some mistakes, but he beat his teammate. Fair enough.
Yeah, Mick. Well, he finished in front of K-Mac, so that's something. He is picking up the pace, maturing a lot. I'll give him a 5 out of 10.
I'll be a bit more generous. I was thinking of 7. I'll go over 6 then. I'll meet you halfway. I think the fact that he out-qualified and outperformed K-Mag, who we know what qualities he has as well. Remember, this is a great track for K-Mag, the scene of his podium on his opening race, was it, Matt? I think. Yeah, it's a great feel-good factor for K-Mag. But yeah, good performance for Mick. I'm happy for him that he's outperformed his teammate. That'll give him a little, you know, a little incentive going into the next race.
Cool. Moving on, P12, Lance Stroll. Mr. Lance Stroll, first of all, you crashed into the TV in qualifying, and that's immediately dropping your rating quite low. Also, in the race, they put him on an interesting strategy, keeping him out on the hard tyres for as long as possible, trying to get to the end. He was running in the points for a while in an Aston Martin, but he got a 5-second time penalty for doing a lot of moving around. And some of his defending, I understand he needs to be aggressive with it to try and get points for Aston Martin, but some of it was just a bit over the line for me. Overall, not a great weekend for Lance Stroll. He is getting a 3 out of 10, maybe even a 2, because he crashed into the Latifi without looking.
So I give Stroll a 3 out of 10 purely because he hasn't been lapped.
Nice job.
Fair enough. Well, in football, we have no-look passes. With Lance Stroll, we have no-look crashes. You know, he doesn't look, he crashes. And poor weekend. The fact he finished 12th, though, in the Aston Martin, which is a bit of a handful. Probably other people's failures. But tough. And quickly diminishing any good reputation he had there. Needs to have a good race, a clean race as well, because that team are going to run out of components. Maybe they turn up with Imola because no front wings, because what difference does it make? There's no downforce on the car anyway.
Yeah, that maybe they should do that. Maybe that would help them a bit. Slow Lance down, and therefore he's less likely to have a crash. I like your thinking, Rich. You're saving Aston Martin a lot of money here. Good job. P11, Zhou Guan Yu. He nearly got points, but didn't. He was sort of on that train of cars for a while. He was there. Again, another sort of 5 out of 10 for me. Nothing amazing. Turned up, did his job. Didn't get points. Better luck next time.
Yeah, he did nothing wrong. No mistakes. P11. He's still a rookie, so he has to learn. He was stuck in the train, of course, as you said, so I'll give Guan Yu a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I would even consider a 7. I think the fact that he's in his rookie season, he started P14, he's made up some positions as well. Of course, he's not got some points, but he's showing some maturity to his game as well. And playing the long game, you know, treat it as a marathon and not a sprint. And yeah, I've been more impressed than I expected with this guy.
Yeah. He's not had a bad start to his Formula One career. P10, hero of the day, Alexander Albon for Williams, picking up a point. 10 out of 10. I great job. Started dead last.
That was P10 out of P16 cars, Matt. Not 10 out of 10.
Sorry, my bad. Yeah, absolutely smashed it. Started dead last. Took the hard tyres for 57 out of 58 laps. And came away with a point. Fabulous work, Alex. Great stuff.
Yeah, tire management was epic. 57 laps on our tires in a Williams. That's really impressive. Yeah, made one stop. Ended up P10. No, he was P11, actually. He was P11, right? Made a move on Guanyu or not.
They came out very close on the pit exit. I think Joe was about to get the run on him and then drop the back end. So Albon came out just in front.
Okay. Well, nevertheless, Alexander, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll go with an 8 out of 10. I mean, it's a good performance from this weekend. Some things went his way, the Max Verstappen, the other people and stuff like that. But yeah, you got to feel good for this kid, you know, like he's had it tough, jumping in, losing his seat, coming back into the Formula. Williams not looking the best car to drive, but great strategy. And he said he felt like he was doing qualifying lap after qualifying lap on that set of tyres, which, you know, he'd done the whole bloody race on them. So credit where it's due. He didn't bottle it as well, did he, Matt? Like the Ferrari driver on the hard tyre in the opening stint. He just kept it cool, calculated, and yeah, great drive from Alex.
That's why he deserves a 10 out of 10, Rich.
Okay, well, I'll agree with you then.
No negative points. You only gave us positive points. Come on.
The negative was other people didn't finish, but okay, we'll go in.
Mate, give him the talking twats grand slam. Come on.
Okay. He has the accreditation, the grand slam twats. Okay, there you go.
Oh, lovely stuff. P9. Just 3 seconds ahead of Alex Albon in a Williams. Pierre Gasly for AlphaTauri. AlphaTauri don't look good this year, do they? They look to be struggling quite a lot. He did a fair bit better than Tsunoda. So 6 out of 10, maybe a 7, because he definitely got the most out of that car. Did what he could, but he'd definitely be hoping for more than 9th.
Yeah. Should be better than 9th. He tried, though. Was an okay race. No silly mistakes or anything. Quite boring, honestly. I'll give him a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll go with this. I'll go with a 7. I think that he done the best with the package he could and kept it on the black stuff. Yeah, good job from Gasly. Well, we got high standards of this guy now.
Indeed, we do. P8, points for Alfa Romeo then. Valtteri Bottas, decent stuff from him to get points in a car that didn't look as strong as it has done this weekend. I'll give him a 7 out of 10. Nicely done. 4 points in the bag. Great work.
Yeah, it's been quite decent from Bottas all season. Well, it's been only 3 races, so we don't need to say a lot. But yeah, quite decent. He got out qualified. At least he went out of Q2 after 103 races, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's a deduction. So I'll give Valtteri a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, good performance from him. Really extracting the most out of the car. What a car it is as well, the Alfa Romeo. A great concept. Great to see them up there. I thought they would be at the back of the pack of our pre-season predictions. But great to see him up there. Lovely looking car as well. And credit where it's due to Bottas. A good 7 out of 10 for me.
Good stuff, Valtteri. P7, Esteban Ocon. Alpine looked strong this weekend. Ocon didn't. Maybe Alonso was just on some insane form this weekend because Ocon just couldn't match it. P7, though, still good points. 6 in the bag for him. Did obviously benefit a bit from Verstappen not finishing, but not a terrible job. I will give him a 6 out of 10 because I don't think he got the most out of that car.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ocon got P7 purely because of the car. I think the car gave him that P7 and not himself. Not strong enough, but he finished P7, so he did it. I'll give Ocon, as well, 6 out of 10.
Yeah, 6 out of 10. I mean, he could have done a hell of a lot more. I think even Alonso said that they had a quicker package this week than Mercedes and McLaren put together, just showing what kind of fight they should have been in for. So maybe even a 5 out of 10. But yeah, it was tricky because we can't tell. Because if Alonso had finished, we would have a good yardstick to judge him by. But car's looking good. And it's not pink anymore, so even better.
Yeah, I don't know, to be fair. I think the way that it's still got some pink on it, some pink on it, which just looks out of place now. At least when it was all pink, it kind of all blended together. Anyway, P6, wowzers, home favourite, Dan the Man. Are McLaren back, or is the track just suited their car? I don't know. I think Lando said that they haven't really changed a lot. The track just, they changed the track and now the car works. But P6, 8 points in the bag in front of the home fans. Solid job. I would say 7 out of 10. He didn't beat Lando, but did a good job. Nicely done.
Yeah, Daniel, only 4 attempts behind Lando. So that's an improvement compared to last season and last few races. P6 in front of his home crowd indeed. I'll give Daniel a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, it was quite harsh. And then we played the team game this weekend as well. Lando was suffering with overheating on his engine. He had to dial it back. And they basically told Ricciardo to hold station at his home race. And he followed suit. So, you know, give him extra kudos for that. So I'll give him a 7 out of 10. Lando did seem to have the pace over him this weekend, though. So still some work to do for him.
Yep, I agree. Definitely still needs to build in that McLaren team. P5 then, with a very similar performance in the race, Lando Norris. He can have a 7, maybe an 8, I don't know. Good drive, Lando. Got what you could have done out the car. P5, great points for McLaren. Fabulous work.
Yeah, you finished where he probably should be in the McLaren. P5, P6. Did his job, ended up in front of Ricciardo, not too hard. Lando, 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll go with a 7. Pretty poor start from him off the line. And it's one, lost a couple of positions. And got stuck in that kind of DRS train, didn't he, early on with the two Mercs and then the two McLaren's. Yeah, good weekend for him. Had some troubles towards the end of the race, but brought it home. Good job, Lando.
A bit of stuff. P4, bouncing back from a horrible weekend in Saudi Arabia. It's Lewis Hamilton. Yeah, Richie's happy about that one. P4 for Lewis. Drove a good race. Didn't beat George, but that was mainly because of the timing of one of the safety cars that played massively into George's hands. He got a good start as well. He was up to third, wasn't he? Lovely stuff, Lewis. Decent little fight with Checo. 7, 8 out of 10. I don't think he could have done any better than that.
Rich, go for it. Give me a few seconds.
Lights out, and away we go down to turn one. And Lewis Hamilton down the outside into turn one. He gets ahead of Sergio Perez and ahead of Lando Norris down into turn one. What a start it was for the champ. And he was absolutely flying. Good tyre management as well throughout the race, I thought, from him. He played the long game. He knew what to do with the car. Really turned the corner as well in terms of setup on that car. It's still the same car that we've seen struggling in the first two rounds. And proud of the champ because he let Perez went. Okay, Perez had the pace early on, but he just managed the long game in that first did. Come back towards Perez. Perez boxed. Then Lewis boxed. And then the safety car come. And yeah, he couldn't do much about that and lost out against another Mercedes engine suffering with overheating towards the end of the race. Had to manage temps. Was that just Mercedes telling him to slow down and not overtake George? I don't know. But yes, good 8 out of 10 for the 7-time champ.
Okay. Yeah, well, I haven't watched Lewis a lot this weekend, so I can't judge on that. okay. He finished P4. That's good for the Mercedes. Yeah, well, we all know Lewis, you know, he's always trying his best and it is what it is. So Lewis, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10.
Yeah, fair enough. P3 on the podium, George Russell, and second in the championship now. Somehow, how that's happened, I don't know. Well, I do know. It's because Perez has had a DNF, Sainz has had a DNF, Verstappen's had 2 DNFs, George Russell's finished every race. That's how he's second in the championship. Fair play to him today. I'll give him the same rating as Lewis. I can't remember if I said 7 or 8. I think I might have said both. They had about the same sort of performance, didn't they? 7 or 8 out of 10 for George.
Yeah, I'll give George 8 out of 10. Doing a good job. You know, he's learning the car and, well, yeah, P3. That's good. You know, you're in front of Lewis. So 8 out of 10 for Russell.
Yeah, what a weekend for Russell. I mean, he finishes ahead of Lewis Hamilton. They had to hold him off. Got there, not on absolute merit, but again, was he playing the team game in that opening stint? He was close to Lewis for a long period and then slipped away as the tyre deck set in. But his first credible podium as well in F1, okay? Yeah, let's give him that as well. The first time he deserved to be up there. And really glad to see that talent rising. A cool head on his shoulders. He'll play the long game. I put him down as my driver's champion this year. And with this kind of consistent performances, I can see him doing something big as well up against Lewis. And well done, George. Good job, mate.
Great stuff, George. Very, very happy. P2, Sergio Perez, the only Red Bull to finish the race. Suffering early on the mediums. That was definitely a Red Bull issue, but as soon as he was out on the hards, doing well, put a nice move on Lewis, put a nice move on Russell. P2, very cool. You can have a solid, again, 7 or 8 out of 10. You did a nice job, got what you should have done out of the car.
Yeah. Well, he has to step up his game. Red Bull has to step up their game. Still P2, did his job. Perez, 7 out of 10.
I'll go with 6. I felt there was a lot more pace within Perez himself in terms of qualification. I did expect him to jump ahead of Max in the classifications there. In the race, a bit ragged at times. Didn't manage the tyres too well. And that is his forte, isn't it? We've seen it over seasons gone by, how cool he is with the tyres. And even struggling towards the end of the race, hopping across the grass at some point as well. It could have been more, but P2 is probably the best over the weekend. But a bit ragged for me, and that's why I went with a 6. I hold him quite highly this year. I think this formula of car is going to suit Perez very well. And you'll see him really pushing Max as well to the limit throughout the season. But yeah, Perez impressing me so far.
Fair enough. And the one driver left, Charles Leclerc, pole position, won the race, fastest lap, led every lap in the process. What more could you ask? That's an 11 out of 10 if we could do that. So, well done.
Yeah, I have nothing to add, honestly. He did nothing wrong. Car was great. He was great. Ferrari doing a great job. I think he's feeling good as well in the team, just like last year. He has signs in the pocket so far, so 10 out of 10.
Yeah, absolute 10 out of 10. First Grand Slam for Charles Leclerc. He loves to convert these pole positions and really command from the front. And yeah, it wasn't all easy in that opening stint. The restarts as well, he got a bit wide on one of them, out onto the marbles. Max Verstappen really tested him and broke late down towards turn one. But yeah, he had the pace in the bag. We saw that on the final lap where he just popped it in there. Fastest lap of the race on the hard compound. That Ferrari is looking absolutely insane. Carlos Sainz, have a look at yourself, lad, because if this guy can do it, you need to get up. Because this is a chap in the making. I would love to see him do it, go all the way. Yeah. Great job from Ferrari.
Yeah, absolutely. Solid work for him this weekend. Let's take a moment to talk about Ferrari for a moment. Solid weekend on one side of the garage. very unsolid weekend on the other side of the garage. How last year Sainz was pretty on it, and he did finish ahead of Leclerc in the standings on points. I know Leclerc got a bit unlucky last year. He got taken out in Hungary, didn't get to start from pole in Monaco. He did lose some big points in both of those races, but Sainz at the start of this year couldn't match Leclerc in Bahrain, couldn't match Leclerc in Saudi, and I feel he could have maybe matched Leclerc this weekend, but didn't, because he didn't get a lap in quali, and then crashed. So that's slightly worrying from Sainz for me.
Yeah, well, Leclerc clearly feels great in the car and in the team, and Sainz, well, he said it to us as well in the interviews, like he's still searching the limits, you know. He hasn't, last year and, well, a few years ago in McLaren, we saw it in McLaren, we saw it in Renault, like he felt the car, you know. He knew what he had to do to make that car perform, and this year so far he hasn't been able to do it. So yeah, I think it's just a matter of time, but so far yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, a lot of work to do. Ferrari though, looking ultra strong. You just got to get a handle on it. Anytime that car looks to be in a position of winning a race, it's Charles Leclerc that's there. We've seen it with other teammates in the past as well, and he just pulls it out of the bag. He's just got that extra bit in him. And we saw that in F2 when he's fighting at the front of the grid. He just elevates his game to another level. He's just got that instinct to push that bit harder, to extract that bit more out the car. And Sainz, he just doesn't have that in his locker. So hard to judge him by it, because I don't think Carlos Sainz is a champion in waiting. Charles Leclerc is.
There you go. Big statement there from Richie Skills. Sainz has outperformed a lot of teammates in his time. And by outperformed a lot of teammates, I mainly mean he outperformed Lando Norris when they were teammates. Bye, Rich. Rich has just gone to, I don't know, save somebody. He was in a bit of a panic there. He's back now. He's finished saving somebody. Good stuff, Rich. But yeah, he outperformed Lando as teammates, not because of his shining quality, because of his consistency. That's why everybody's jokes about, oh, Sainz is never on TV. The race director always misses Sainz. It's because Sainz isn't doing anything special. He's just driving from lights to flag pretty quickly. He's not crashing. He's good to his tyres. He gets it done. Is that enough to win a world championship, though? I'm not sure, because we're now only three races into this year and he is 38 points behind his teammate. And there's no reliability in that. That's not one's had a car for any, the other hasn't. That is a pure, he is that far behind. And he's really got his work cut out now for the season. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure we're going to see him make a huge dent into that gap unless Leclerc has reliability issues.
No, I can't see that happening either. Talking of the standings, we've had three races now. Charles Leclerc, 71. The next person, like you said, George Russell on 37. Carlos Sainz on 33. Then we've got Perez on 30. Then Lewis Hamilton on 28. Just showing the woes that Verstappen has faced this year. He's on 25 points behind the likes of Lewis Hamilton. Ocon on 20, Norris 16, Magnussen 12, and Bottas 12. And in the team standards, it doesn't look much better for Red Bull either, because 104 points to Ferrari, 65 to Mercedes, 55 to the Red Bull team. Then 24 McLaren, 22 Alpine. Then we've got Alfa Romeo, Haas, AlphaTauri, Williams, Aston Martin, the only team of the season not to get a point so far. So yeah, Red Bull, they need to fix this fast, didn't they? Because, you know, some big concerns. It looks to be something to do with the fuel. We had the fuel pump issues, the pickups. Maybe is it the mix, because we have this new biofuel. They've increased it. What is it, 10%? I always forget what value it is now. Maybe going aggressive with it. And again, Noah, what was it? Max could smell fuel in the car. What was the feedback he gave?
I don't know exactly what it was, but he was smelling some sort of fluid like a chemical fluid. So yeah, no clue.
It's just not good for that team to have DNF for a reliability issue in two of three races. Not only is that a big concern in terms of a whole championship race, because he now has to have pretty flawless results for the rest of the season, all hope Leclerc falls off the road a lot, right? Because you think to last season, Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen were very close on points at the end of the year. Let's think of Lewis's season and where he lost points. He had the DNF in Italy. He had the mistake in Baku. They were his two non-points finishes of the season. That was his whole year, two non-point scoring finishes. Max has already had two now in the first three races. He cannot afford to drop any more points for the rest of the year. The second reason that kind of reliability is worrying is it's not going to end there, is it? I could see very easily we're going to get to halfway through this season and Max maybe has three or four DNFs under his belt already, and it'll probably be a similar situation for Perez. I don't know how you guys see that shaping up, whether Red Bull can fix it or not, but not a good sign at all.
Well, it's clearly something they need to fix quite soon. And yeah, like they're not, we know it's a fuel related issue or something with the engine, or yeah, I don't know exactly, but it's not great at all. The Honda left, it's Red Bull powertrains now, and yeah, it's not great so far. They really need to step up their game because it's not great.
Yeah, well, Honda's still in the room, isn't they? Yeah, it's basically they've changed the personnel, and I think Red Bull have actually gained about 50 people from the Mercedes personnel on the power unit front, which is a big weakness for the Merc power side of it and a big gain for Red Bull. So maybe it's a teething problem. Maybe it's a problem not even from the powertrain side. Maybe it is a problem from the fuel side, from who is it? Esso, I can't even remember who provides it for the Red Bull powertrains. But yeah, big cause for concern. If it is a reliability issue, then they do get certain dispensation. They can change if it is the fuel mixture. They can do certain things for reliability, but they can't do it for performance. So is it just the master plan and they will bring a new spec of engine and be 1 second a lap quicker? I doubt it very much. But yeah, concerning times for them. I think he already switched the power unit as well this season. So let's hope that it's not going to be another set of components out of the Red Bull pool, because in this cost cap environment, Matt, I was thinking about this. Are we going to see teams go over budget towards the end of the year? We're three races in. We've had a lot of damages. We've had a lot of DNFs. And as we go deeper into the season, I see this trend continuing, especially as we go to different times of circuits. And what are going to be the repercussions if they do exceed this cost cap?
The short answer, Richard, is I don't know. I really do not know. I have no idea. I don't know if we will see anybody go over it. I think the part of me that's saying that is because, of course, there were several teams that weren't operating at the budget cap anyway. And so part of me saying, well, why would they go over it now? But I don't know. I would think not. I mean, what happens? Oh, I don't know. I don't know what happens if you go over the budget cap. It's got to be a pretty hefty penalty. Like, I'd say that's a sporting keep you out of the season worthy, isn't it? That's
it's got to be a points deduction or something similar, surely.
Yeah, no, I don't know what it is, but it would be pretty hefty. Yeah, maybe Aston Martin and Williams should really get onto their drivers about not crashing so much, because that's really not helping them at the moment.
We've already seen it with Haas, not letting Mick Schumacher back out on track because they're worried about just having the components for this upcoming race itself. So yeah, we're going to have to be super careful, super tight. And talking of the races coming up, we have the home of Ferrari. No, it's not Monza. Where are we going, Matt?
We're going back to everybody's favourite tight and technical circuit. It's Imola, of course. Sprint race weekend as well, if you've just to remind you. interesting choice for a sprint race weekend. I don't think it's going to be that spectacular because where are you going to overtake at Imola? Turn one, that's about it, really. Maybe into Tosa, the hairpin. Is that the one I'm thinking of? Other than that, where are your opportunities to pass that? It's way too tight and technical, especially for the biggest and heaviest cars we've ever had. So not going to be that good, I don't think.
No, I think, yeah. Well, turn one will be the place to do it around the track. Maybe turn four. Turn three, turn four into the chicane if you have big balls. And that's about it. Maybe if you're really close into the Parabolica, if you have a good exit out of the Ascari, but they'll, you know, they're smart enough, so they'll just stick behind and wait for turn one. Yeah, that's basically it, I think.
Yeah, very, very strange choice for a sprint race to have it at Imola. I don't get that at all. But the Omen is very good for the Ferrari team. They look very confident in slow to medium speed corners. And that is what Imola is full of as well. And we get really good traction, mid-apex, etc. I think it's going to be interesting how Red Bull approach it, because normally you'd see them throw a lot of aero, different wings on the car and stuff like that. But they don't have that luxury anymore, because they really have to schedule their development further down the line and understand the car and really be tight with their money. So, I think it's going to throw the cat amongst the pigeons this year. And can we have a reg change every year? Because it's just great to see.
Yeah, that would be lovely, I'm sure. First European race of the year as well. So, yeah, there is potential for the first time to see some proper developments to the cars, which is, I don't know, could be interesting. Maybe Mercedes are going to fix some problems. Maybe they won't. We will see. Probably not. Probably not. Sorry to break your heart, Rich.
Well, I want to see one thing next weekend. That's literally what the purposing effect will do on these cars, because they'll go extremely quick on the straights. We've seen multiple cars bouncing like skippy balls. Literally, they're going how quick? Like to 20 to 30 miles per hour, like 340, 350 kilometers per hour. Like, yes. I want to see what these cars will do. We've never seen this effect so far this season. Maybe Bahrain.
So would you be at a high speed circuit like Baku or something?
Yeah.
Get there. Yeah, it's going to be quite dangerous, isn't it? They're going to have to try and balance it out in terms of ride height and lose the performance in the car. Matt, I don't expect to see Mercedes bring a big package until another 3-4 rounds at least, because, like I say, they need to really be sure that something's going to work and not do these little trinkets that might make, you know, a subtle difference. It's going to have to be huge upgrades that they throw at the car. The Mercedes is draggy and it also is lacking downforce. So it's slow in a straight line because it's not cutting through the air as cleanly as it should. And it's also lacking downforce. And it doesn't pack the biggest punch. The Ferrari looks like an absolute monster of an engine at the minute. It's really propelled Alfa Romeo up the grid. Haas, we've seen them performing well. Red Bull powertrains looks quick in phases down the straights and stuff, but you know, you have that unreliability about it. Red Bull, Christian Horner said he'd rather have a quick package that's unreliable than a reliable package, another slide dig at Toto and the team. But that rivalry rumbles on once again. And on we march to Imola. Anything else to talk about, Chappies?
Hopefully, Haas are back and strong again. Hopefully, it wasn't a one-off for Fernando. Hopefully he's strong. I wonder. It's a bit interesting, isn't it? How like different cars are performing so differently at different circuits. I'm thinking with McLaren especially, because Lando said they've not changed anything on that car. It's the same car that was in Bahrain. Yet in Bahrain, they were running right at the back, like fighting with Williams and Aston Martin. And then yesterday, they were comfortably running with the Mercedes. So it's a bit weird to see who's strong where. I think it's a It's the first time this year we've gone to a properly tight technical circuit. I think Australia used to be like that, but they've opened it up a bit now, so it's a little bit better than Imola. So I don't know, we'll see. Surprises to be seen, I'm sure.
Yeah, all we watch, FIA come out with a statement basically at Lewis Hamilton, you're not allowed to wear any jewellery. Apparently he's going to have to chop his ear off. He's got that many earrings and one of them in order to get that out, and his nose pierced as well. Whether they start to fine him will be interesting. Also, George Russell came on saying, well, Max was complaining about how slow the safety car was going. He said, well, if you have the AMG on the circuit, it's about 5 seconds a lap quicker. Now, should we have a quicker safety car just because of the facts of that? What's your standpoint on that? Because if the Aston Martin is 5 seconds a lap slower, it's a big problem, isn't it? Because these tyres take a lot of warm-up. So should we have it there at all? Or is it just is what it is?
Yeah, well, we're running new inch tyres, 18-inch tyres now. They're bigger. They need more work for the temperature. If a car, well, the safety car goes 5 seconds slower each lap, that's massive. And these cars just need to go quick to gain temperature. So I think it's important, yes. Like, for example, look at the Indy cars. They're running like Corvettes and other stuff just to go quick, because these cars can't get any temperature in their tires. Like, if we're running the AMG and go 5 seconds quicker, which leads to more temperature, that's much more safe for these cars. Like, these cars need temperature to be safe. So I think it's quite important.
Yeah, I agree. If it's bad enough that it's a safety concern, them not being able to get temperature in the tires, then you need to have the quicker safety car there. B, I don't like that inconsistency. I don't like that at some circuits we're going to have a safety car where it's a lot easier to get tire warm up, and at some circuits it's going to be much harder just because they're being made to go so much slower. So ideally, if we're going to have two different safety cars, it would be nice to see them be just as quick as each other and not have such a significant difference, because 5 seconds is huge in racing terms.
Talking about the tyres as well, how great is it to see them coming out the pits and just really struggling and sliding over the track because of these cooler tire blankets? I mean, it throws the strategy right out the window. The undercut is going to be massive now throughout the year, and the pit stops as well, we expect them to be a hell of a lot slower, but McLaren have been pulling like 2.4 second pit stops out the bag straight away. There's nothing to slow these guys and girls down in the pit lane, but the tires, they deserve a massive maybe not pat on the back Pirelli, but I think that's been one of the biggest unknowns coming into this year, is just how to work the tyres, how to get them to work, and just throwing up some interesting racing.
Yeah, good stuff. Love some competitive racing, especially because of the tyres. It's been better. The one thing I don't want to see is what we had in Melbourne, where the tyres are dying. Unless you're on a hard tyre, which looks pretty indestructible. Don't want to see drivers having to go slowly because the tyres are crumbling.
Yeah, well, yeah. I can't say anything about
great
it.
Insight,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's pure facts. Like, we want these cars to go quick all race long and don't like slow down for nothing. So, yeah, it's important to give these guys a good tyre.
It's always been a fine margin throughout the seasons, isn't it? We want a tyre which can just beat it and go lap after lap so fast, but then we beg for some degradation so we can get two and three stop races and different performance on the track. So it's such a fine line for a tyre manufacturer to come up with, and especially going from the 13-inch to the 18-inch, it's a completely different construction. The tyre has to be so much more rigid, the way it works and handles, etc. But we'll see. We'll see how it progresses throughout the year. But we're going to have some tough races for tyres, I expect, throughout the year, where they're just going to be falling off after three or four laps. So it'll be interesting. Anything else we want to discuss before we kick off?
Oh, all good from my end.
Okay, so thank you for joining us for another episode of the TTF1 podcast. I've been Richie Skills. We've had Matt and Noah. Welcome back, my friend. And we hope to join you in 2 weeks' time for the Italian Grand Prix at the Circuit Emilia. How do you pronounce it, Matt? Emilia?
The Emilia Romagna Grand Prix.
Romagna, yeah.
Spoken like a true Ferrari fan. The Tifosi will be back in force at Imola, and that'll be a sight to behold. We'll join you then. Thanks for watching, and have a great night.